Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Critically analyzing global affairs. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Happy Friday, everyone. Saturday to some of you. And for those listening to the recording afterward, happy whatever day it is when you're listening. Let's just remind everyone that April 11th marks the four-year anniversary of the arrest of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. You can join activists and supporters from around the country and the world from 4 to 6 p.m. at the DOJ on the corner of 10th and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. to demand the charges against Mr. Assange be dropped. What's happening to Julian is happening to all of us. It's the criminalization of truth. The world is watching. The tide is turning. Journalism is not a crime. But if he is tried, again, I remind people that sets the precedence for the U.S. empire to do the same to anyone, anywhere in the world. Would you like to be renditioned to a CIA black site? They're all over the place. They've got them in various European countries. There was even the black site near my home in Chicago. So, not cool. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, this was ridiculous. So we all know about the whole Trump ordeal. But Nancy Pelosi comes out and tweets. She says, the grand jury has acted upon the facts and the law. No one is above the law. And everyone has the right to a trial to prove innocence. To prove I was raised on American TV shows and movies. It was pounded into my head in America that you're innocent until proven guilty. Here's Nancy Pelosi saying you're guilty until proven innocent. Like literally. And then what's even crazier, the Ministry of Truth. I mean, this is 1984. It's so wild to be living in 1984. Twitter adds a little note to her tweet, context. It says, readers added context they thought people might want to know. Ms. Pelosi mistakenly says that Trump can prove his innocence at trial. Who said that she mistakenly said that? Did she say she mistakenly? She should have deleted the tweet or edited it or whatever. I don't think she mistakenly said it. So it's crazy that the Ministry of Truth now adds these little notes. And not that I'm terribly interested in Andrew Tate, but footage was released that Andrew Tate and his brother were released from prison. I believe they're going to serve another 30 days or month under house arrest. So that's some of the big news today. I'm keeping an eye out on the Temple Mount in Israel. I had the privilege to stand on the Temple Mount some, I think, 5 years ago, half a decade ago. It's being reported that an Israeli settler group has called on illegal Jewish settlers to take sacrificial animals to Al-Aqsa Mosque for slaughter during next week's Passover holiday. The Temple Mount movement asked followers to gather at the entrance of Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on the eve of the Jewish holiday, which starts April 5th in just a couple days. So, yeah, there's stuff going on there that could spark great unrest. So we want to keep an eye on what's happening there. And California, a proposed California bill could force popular candies like Skittles to change their recipes or stop selling them in California altogether. Assembly Bill 418 has been introduced, which would prohibit the manufacture, sale, and distribution of food products containing five chemicals linked to cancer and other health risks, including titanium dioxide, which is listed there. That was exactly why I've never bought things like Skittles. It's funny, when I go shopping, I think people look at me like I'm weird, because I stand there looking every single item I buy. I'm sitting there for a couple minutes reading the ingredients. If it's got titanium dioxide or anything like that, I put it back on the shelf. So I could support this bill. Yeah, why not? Who needs to be selling this garbage? I'll go for it. And what else is interesting? This was a piece of news couple weeks ago, but I thought it was important. Scientists unveil plan to create biocomputers powered by human brain cells. Despite AI's impressive track record, its computational power pales in comparison with the human brain. Now scientists unveil a revolutionary path to drive computing forward. Organoid intelligence, where lab-grown brain organoids act as a biological hardware. That is insane. This is Eureka Alert. Organoid intelligence, just search that, you can find the article. I guess they want to do, you know, make us into like the Matrix. We're going to be, I don't know what's going on anymore. All right, a reminder that, help us out on the socials, follow TNT Radio over at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, Getter, YouTube, Rumble, Odyssey. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on TNT Radio.
Catch the news on the go.
I listen on the way to work.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
If you want to avoid having to eat the bugs in the near future, you just might want to consider moving to Italia. Assuming the rest of the world doesn't follow their example, this week, Italy became the first country ever to place a ban on lab-grown and insect-based foods. Here with the full pizza and pasta, joining me now is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, everybody. I also heard in a sideways note here that they also, by they, I mean Italy, banned ChatGPT. So Italy's looking really nice, if you ask me, which I'm kind of proud of, because I have Italian blood running through these Ruckus veins, believe it or not. All right, so Italy's government approved a bill on Tuesday banning the production and use of lab-manufactured food and animal feed as the nation attempts to preserve Italian food heritage, some of the best on the planet, and steer away from synthetic choices. So Italian Minister of Agriculture, Francesco Lollobrigida, even though I have Italian in me, I still can't pronounce any of these words, said in a tweet, quote, "A battle of civilizations in defense of citizens' health, of our production model, of our quality, of our culture, simply our food sovereignty." Quote, "Italy is the first nation in the world to say no to synthetic foods," end quote. There will be fines up to 60,000 euros, approximately $65,000 US, for failure to comply. If the parliament passes the proposal, food produced from cell cultures or tissues derived from vertebrate animals will not be allowed in the country. Let's see, quote, "Laboratory products, in our opinion, do not guarantee quality, well-being, and the protection of our culture, our tradition," end quote, said Lollobrigida, a member of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's right-wing Brothers of Italy party. This was during a press conference on March 28th. Meloni had changed the name last year of the ministry, Ministry of Agriculture to the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Sovereignty. And Lollobrigida is an outspoken critic of the European Union's food programs. The agricultural lobby Coldiretti backed the latest move to ban synthetic foods and claimed the bill was necessary to protect the local industry from multinational companies. Along with fines, the proposal seeks to shut down producers, who violate the law and restrict them from obtaining public funding for up to 3 years. Wow. They're really thinking this one through. The bill, of course, is receiving blowback from several supporters of cell-based agri-products, as well as animal rights organizations. Let's see, one of them, Alice Ravenscroft, head of policy at the Good Food Institute Europe, which is an international non-governmental organization promoting plant-based and cultivated meat, said, quote, "The passing of such a law would shut down the economic potential of this nascent field in Italy, holding back scientific progress and climate mitigation efforts and limiting consumer choice. Italy would be left behind as the rest of Europe and the world progresses toward a more sustainable and secure food system. And the 54% of Italians who already want to try cultivated meat would be banned from doing so. The European Union already has a robust regulatory process in place for confirming the safety of new foods like cultivated meat, and regulators in the United States and Singapore have already found it to be safe. The government should let Italians make up their own minds about what they want to eat instead of stifling consumer freedom," end quote. So the Meloni administration is also against promoting insects as a sustainable food alternative. Yay! A trend adopted by the European Union and backed by elite organizations such as the World Economic Forum. In January, the European Commission approved two more insect species for human consumption in the region, even after acknowledging concerns about the bugs triggering allergies. Last week, Meloni said the government was preparing policies that will require companies to label products containing or derived from insects following a debate on the use of cricket-based flour. So, sounds really good to me, Hervory. I might look into moving to Italy. What do you think?
Yeah, there are just some things, you know, when it comes to food, that it's going to take a lot more work for these satanic, anti-human, transhuman globalists to get at in countries like Italy and I'm sure even in my country, neighboring Croatia. And yeah, I mean, it's good that this has happened there. I don't even know. I mean, when you mentioned, was it 54% of Italians that would want to try this lab? What is it? Fake meat? I think that number has got to be fake. Come on. Most Italians would not want to eat this garbage. And it's funny. I was reminded just a couple of days ago, I was on a call with someone. We were I have this book by H.G. Wells, Open Conspiracy. And I pulled it out. And there was a card in there from 2004, a restaurant card. So I back in 2004, I took a trip to Italy. We went to Milan and Rome. You'll have to forgive me. We went to go see U2 play in Milan and play in Rome. And we were in Milan, each city for 4 days. And we went to this restaurant, Italian restaurant in Milan. It was the best dinner I ever had. And we went there the same for 3 nights. And yeah, I mean, Italian food is the real deal, real natural food, you know, pasta, wine, cheese, you name it. And they're trying to protect that cultural heritage. So Meloni is not so bad after all, I guess, although her positions on Ukraine, not the greatest. But yeah, this is, well, it's a good way to end the week. Some good news, Ruckus.
Hey, I try, man. But yeah, you're probably right about that whole the 54%, because throughout this article, it doesn't say, hey, where did they get that information from? Yet it was happy to give us more information about where they get this notion that it's going to help the environment. So they were citing peer-reviewed research, the GFI, the Good Food Institute. What a ridiculous name. When they said that cultivated meat cuts down emissions by 92% compared to conventional beef, reduces meat production-related air pollution by 94%, and consumes up to 90% less farming land. But as I noted, they were citing peer-reviewed research. But what the heck were they citing when they said there are 54% of Italians who want to try cultivated meat? Good observation. Good catch, Rory.
I was just reminded, though, having flashbacks, I've been to Rome a couple of times, and you know, it does remind me that, interestingly enough, speaking of Italy, a lot of these globalist institutions are based in Italy, and this Venetian black nobility, you know, the richest of the richest, who no one knows the names of this, you know, these families, these aristocracies that go back centuries that are the true rulers of the world. But you've got, you know, Club of Rome. I visited the FAO, the UN's FAO headquarters, which is in Rome. And those are this, some of the same agencies, offices pushing this sort of stuff. And yeah, I've been to the Knights, the Order of Malta in Rome as well. So it's kind of interesting to see that at the same time, the globalist institutions are seated in Italy, yet you have Italy defending itself from some of these same globalist institutions. So, yeah. All right. Ruckus, I hope you have a good dinner tonight after talking about all of this. And Jose Nino will be joining us. Feel free to call in and chat with us. We'll be right back after this break.
TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
This is hilarious. Insects have been touted from the World Economic Forum to the United Nations to CNN to governments around the world to the EU, which just approved cricket powders. And it's now coming. They're giving crickets to kids in school, in elementary school, as part of a psych-op. Well, guess what? Now the animal rights people are getting involved. They're demanding welfare standards for these bugs meant to save the planet from the human-caused climate crisis, because bugs have the capacity to feel pain and suffering. So you can imagine, why is it okay to eat a cow or an animal when bugs are the same thing? They're living creatures. How can we eat a living animal? And that's the question.
The Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Like Bob Marley said,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
From big tech censorship to calling out government tyranny, TNT Radio has the guts to say what you're thinking and gives you the platform to be heard. Call the open line anytime in the U.S. and Canada. Call 1-888-201-6425. In the UK, call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
Stand up for your right.
Free speech has a home on TNT Radio.
Joining me this Friday, as he typically does, is Venezuelan American based in Texas, Jose Nino, purveyor of contrarian political insights, freelance writer, analyst. Find his stuff at josbcf.substack.com, on Twitter at Jose A.L. Nino. What is happening, Mr. Nino?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Just finished off a really strong month of productive work.
March madness, and it's April. Tomorrow is April Fools, by the way. Don't forget, if someone's going to try and prank you, you might want to.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm probably going to tell my friends that I'm like a Klaus Schwab affiliated influencer. I'm going to get that idea.
That you're voting for Biden and all this sort of stuff. I know someone always tries to mess with me, so I'm going to keep my operational, situational awareness on high alert this weekend. So what's some of the craziest craziness that you've been paying attention to this week?
Oh, I mean, the most obvious one that's like sucked up all the freaking attention was Donald Trump getting indicted. What I thought was funny was Nayib Bukele instantly like commented and like was just basically calling the U.S. a banana republic for that. And yeah, like that's obviously the biggest story. One of the more interesting stories was with regards to Douglas Mackey, aka Ricky Vaughn, this Twitter personality who was a really prominent like meme disseminator during the 2016 elections, where he like would drop like some memes and pranks on Twitter where he would tell people like give them like an erroneous day to vote for like Hillary Clinton. And he apparently now was convicted by a federal jury in Brooklyn for like some like vote tampering stuff, and he's like potentially facing a maximum of like 10 years in prison for that. So free speech is pretty much dead, like in the U.S.
Yeah, a few comments there. I was just through this week, I was catching even Tim Pool was talking about El Salvador and how cool, you know, because of Bukele, how cool El Salvador is looking. And so if people are looking for places to escape to, El Salvador is looking more and more interesting among the other options of Uruguay and Mexico. And yeah, I can't. I mean, I've got no words regarding this guy you're talking about, just for making memes. It's unbelievable. We got no words. I mean, for decades, many of us have been talking about this, tracking this trajectory, and we have arrived. And it's too late. It's game over. The frog has been boiled in the pot. I mean, I can go back to countless conversations I've had in my classrooms with fellow Americans to the 2000s saying, stop worrying about this stuff. Just get drunk, you know, get drunk,
party.
Party, you know, follow the sports teams, rah, 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 football, basketball, you know, and well, here we are. This is what you get. I was thinking about this today that because Biden too, you know, Biden was in Rolling, where was he? In some city called Rolling, Fork or something. I'll pull it right up. Rolling Fork, Mississippi. And he comes out and says, the town of Rolling Stone will be back. And it's like, honestly, I think we get the government that represents us. For me, Biden represents America. Honestly, when I think of Putin, someone who's, regardless of what you think of him, you can't deny that he's a strong man. He's intelligent and he's defending his country. Xi Jinping, as well, people who are capable of leading their country. I, as an American, I have to say, and in the West, the European leaders as well are just as clownish, almost as Biden. We are getting, I think there's a spiritual aspect here that people don't talk about that has a lot to do with what's going on. God has lifted his hand to the, you know, Western world and says, you permitted so much sin and debauchery. Well, you're going to have to, you know, sleep in the bed that you made. That's just sort of my feeling. I don't know what else to say. I mean, this is it. The frog has been boiled, Jose.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's become abundantly clear that the U.S. has reached a Rubicon moment in its history where it can really no longer drop. It can no longer maintain this illusion of being the land of the free. It's going to start descending into like really hardcore tyranny soon, and it's going to get nasty.
What do you make of Nancy Pelosi's tweet I just read? I mean, I couldn't believe it. She says, quote, she says, the grand jury has acted upon the facts and the law. No one is above the law, and everyone has the right to a trial to prove innocence. Wasn't America supposed to be you're innocent until proven guilty? Not like Pelosi says guilty until proven innocent?
Yep. I mean, freedom is really, really starting to die fast in the U.S. There's no, not just like legislatively, but also culturally, there's just like no respect now for traditional freedoms ranging from like free speech to like due process. Among large segments of the elites, and that does not augur well for like the institutional stability of the U.S. and its broader social cohesion.
Just a handful of senators that I still respect. Josh Hawley of Missouri, his comment on that was the right to prove innocence. This is America, not Stalinist Russia. And Thomas Massey's commenting on Senator Ron Johnson discussing the WHO, how the Democrats want to give the power to the WHO. Massey says Senate Democrats have expressed their preference for a global cabal over any form of democracy or republic. So all we've got is a few good men. And yeah, it's just not looking good. Feel free to call in. We're going to jump to our break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I got news for you.
TNT Radio News.
It's about time.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he's concerned about President Biden's unwillingness to negotiate on lifting the nation's borrowing authority rather than open direct talks on the debt ceiling, which the Democrats agree must be raised. Former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro returned to Brazil on Thursday after a brief self-imposed exile in the United States in what appears to be a potential political comeback for his party.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We're back with Jose Nino. One of my regular listeners writes in to my mention of the rulers of the world, said that 4 years ago, Julian Assange was taken from Ecuadorian embassy in a Serco van. I remember during the pandemic reading a lot about this private corporation that's super powerful that has so many industrial contracts called Serco. I don't know much more about them, but I'm sure, I mean, you'd have to go, you know, this forms part of the infrastructure of this globalist, these globalists. And, you know, I was mentioning the Italian Venetian nobility. If you're talking about Serco and the British, I mean, of course, you've got the British crown and royalty going back centuries. But in any case, speaking of Julian Assange, in a couple of weeks, people will be protesting his case out in Washington, D.C., April 11th. Kevork Almasian, Jose, I'm guessing you're familiar with Kevork Almasian, Syrian, and I think he lives in Germany. He says, rule number one in journalism, don't trust a journalist who doesn't come in defense of Julian Assange. It's not looking good.
Right on rule.
Right? Yeah. And your thoughts on Assange's plight?
Yeah, I don't think it looks good for him, to be honest. He's in a pretty bad spot, given that, like, if you're going to be in Airstrip 1, aka United Kingdom, your free speech is pretty much dead. Like, that place is definitively a country in the West where so-called hate speech or anything that goes against the national security establishment or the PC industrial complex is going to be persecuted heavily. Like, that is a dystopian policy, man.
And I saw your comment, you know, Daniel McAdams of Ron Paul Institute. You said Facebook is a private appendage of the national security states. Any page that goes against the national security state's narrative will get censored. And Daniel McAdams was saying how Facebook has reduced the Ron Paul Institute's visibility by more than 90%. They used to get 100,000 views on a typical post. He says, now we get maybe 200. Not 200,000, but 200. It's just, it's unbelievable. So it's just really unbelievable. And just to go back, we were talking about Trump. You recently wrote about DeSantis. You wrote, what did you say? Republicans may lead us to our doom. But it's interesting that DeSantis came out and said that he will not extradite Trump to New York. Any thoughts on that, or why Republicans will lead us to our doom?
Well, DeSantis should receive praise for what he did with regards to the Trump indictment. That is to be expected, but that's like the bare minimum of what you would expect any serious Republican or anyone who believes like in institutional stability for the U.S. However, I still believe that the guy has a lot of question marks, and I apply this to like every other Republican not named Donald Trump, Thomas Massey, Rand Paul. And yeah, what I was trying to point out in this article is that there really does need to be like a purge of like the GOP. We have to kick out the neocon business first element and replace them with Ron Paul style Republicans, nationalists, America firsters, and anybody that just like rejects the Republican Party of the Bush Reagan era.
Yeah, we need to form something new. And the Restrict Act, have you been following that much? But it, because I was, again, looking at commentary today, I think Josh Hawley was pointing this out, that it doesn't even mention TikTok. Someone said it doesn't even mention TikTok anywhere. And it's basically Patriot Act 2.0. I mean, and like the meme case, you mentioned this guy going to get jailed for making a Clinton meme. That's basically like what's going to happen to you under the Restrict Act. It's absolutely crazy. And, you know, I don't know if you caught Kim.com. He said the other day regarding Blinken's telling Americans to leave Russia, Kim.com came out and said, where is it? What did he say? Basically, he told all us U.S. citizens to, he said, U.S. citizens residing in the U.S. should depart immediately. I did that in 2006, so I'm a bit ahead of my time. But your thoughts are you going to go back to Venezuela, or maybe you go back to you know, some of the other nicer places in Latin America?
You know, it's funny. I was talking with a friend who was recently in Argentina, pretty old friend of mine. And he was saying, like, because of how I work online, like, why don't you go to, like, Latin America or whatever? And I've lived, like, in Chile and stuff before, Colombia, and obviously Venezuela. But it's something that's entered my mind, to be honest, because, like, the U.S., unless you're in the top 1% of, like, income earners or just have, like, really high social status, it is becoming, like, really bad. Like, it's high crime in most urban centers, low amounts of social trust, expensive as hell, and people are just turning into like social insects too. Whereas when you go abroad, like, yeah, there's gonna be problems in terms of like infrastructure and economic development, but I'm a minimalist, so I don't really need luxurious living. I'd rather live like in a country that's like socially cohesive. And it's something I'm definitely entertaining. I'm going to probably be a bit more nomadic within the U.S. In the next year or so, move around to like different states, or at least like visit around and travel, because most of like the U.S., good portions of it is becoming inhospitable, but there's other parts that are good. But I do believe more freedom-minded people with online skill sets are going to start weighing those options.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, your experience. You could relate to us going around Latin America. I mean, I'm having it's a pleasant life out here in Mexico. Every day it's sunny. I was on my roof, as I usually am, in the afternoon, getting a tan. And yeah, it's just sunny, and you know, every day it's easygoing. People, you know, a lot of family life. People get together on the weekends, weeknights, and so far so good. Can't complain. And maybe switching to some foreign policy. You wrote an interesting piece for BigLeaguePolitics.com. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov claims the U.S. is trying to pit China and India against each other. And this is something a lot of people haven't discussed much. One of the analysts that I follow on Twitter was commenting on, I think I mentioned this before, I think he's Indian, and he was saying that the Quad or AUKUS, the long-term goal was to contain India. And recently I read an interview by an Indian general discussing as well that there's this new great game for related to India, you know, China, US, and India. And again, you said the US is trying to pit China and India against each other. I wonder if China and India will will fall for it. But what's your take on this new great game?
Well, yes, I do believe that Indian and Chinese officials are kind of seeing through the Western's machinations, because they have very realist diplomatic staff that understand that ultimately what should govern sensible foreign policy is geopolitical realism and not ideological crusading. And that's why whenever China and India have disputes, they tend to solve it among themselves, and they don't get like third parties like the US, which will try to like escalate those tensions and prolong otherwise short-term or medium-term disputes and turn them into drawn-out affairs where both like China and India bleed each other out. And what's the result of that? Both get weakened while the US gets a stronger position in the Indo-Pacific. And that's why I do believe that those two countries have grown more skeptical of this. And I think they actually formed AUKUS in the short term, the West, because they were just not getting the type of compliance that they wanted from India, because India is not going to fight China over the situation in Xinjiang or Taiwan or Hong Kong. They might beef with China over stuff like in the Himalayas or like the Nicobar Islands and like maritime disputes that are like within like India's historical domain. But I do believe there are like limits to where the West can use India as like a battering ram against China. Moreover, if you look at it from a broader perspective too, the US has been more of an ally of Pakistan, especially since the Cold War, whereas India aligned itself more with the Soviet Union. And to this day, you do see like the US cater more to Pakistani interests in general. So, and there's a multitude of other reasons for that too, because India has warm relations with both Iran and Russia, which are two countries that the US national security state hates. So there is reason for India to view the US with skepticism. Any type of rapprochement the US is trying to pursue with India or boost ties, it's going to be for the purposes of turning it into a, not just like a battering ram, but also maybe even like a sacrificial lamb against China.
Yeah, this was a very good article. You cite Lavrov again, where he called to attention how NATO is now penetrating this part of the world by hook or by crook. And yeah, Lavrov reaffirms what other analysts are starting to say. He says AUKUS is, as you said, a Western battering ram to destabilize the Indo-Pacific. I mean, it's always, for me, it's always been clear as day. It's like NATO, they want NATO is supposed to be like the world police slash army, and the UN is supposed to be the world government, and then the Bretton Woods system is supposed to be the, you know, one world economic system, IMF, World Bank, WTO, yada, yada, yada. And you go on to say Lavrov asserted there are plots, conspiracies to drive a wedge among the ASEAN nations. Although, you know, the news today, I don't know how that's going, because it says ASEAN finance ministers and central banks consider dropping US dollar, euro, and yen. Indonesia calling for phasing out Visa and MasterCard. So de-dollarization, it's not going so well on that front, is it, Jose?
Yeah, it's getting really bad, actually, how things are starting to really blow up in the U.S.'s face, because I do believe that if there's more economic reversals, the U.S. is going to have to reconsider its prolonged proxy conflict in Ukraine. Because I think the longer this goes, it's going to have like much nastier reverberations on the world stage for it, both economically and geopolitically, where I don't think it's just going to be Ukraine where it could face humiliation. It could be also in Syria and pop off in other fronts. So we are witnessing a shift in the overall geoeconomic and geopolitical landscape that most foreign policy tinkerers in DC, London, Brussels are just not prepared to handle. These people are just, they just have tunnel, they have neoconservative, neoliberal interventionist tunnel vision.
All right. Speaking of tunnels, we're going to take the tunnel onto our break. Again, find Jose on Twitter at Jose A.L. Nino. Feel free to call in and chat with us. We'll be right back.
With his expert analysis and opinion,
this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Is it time to put transsexuals on FBI lists of potential domestic terrorists? The Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary, and the Denver, Aberdeen, and Nashville shooters all identified as trans. Transvestites wearing satanic garb overtook the Kentucky capital of Frankfort today. And in Nashville, there was a transurrection as commie-crat trans activists occupied the state capitol, forcing state troopers to form cordons so that lawmakers could get to the restrooms. Indeed, lawmakers in Nashville on M30 were at far graver risk of physical danger than lawmakers in D.C. on J6. Don't hold your breath for these insurrectionists to ever be brought to justice, however. Just like Code Pink never suffered any penalty for occupying the Capitol in D.C. during the summer of 2020. The left is nothing if not consistent in its application of the double standard, rules for thee, but not for we. This needs to change. America needs to be brought back to the equal justice under law standard. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Researcher Elizabeth Woodworth finds the mainstream media often confuses misinformation, which is unintentional, with disinformation, which is deliberate. Dictionary.com states that compared to misinformation, disinformation is a relatively new word, first recorded in 1965 to 1970. It's a translation of the Russian word desinformatia, in turn based on the French désinformer. In English, the prefix dis can be used to indicate a reversal or negative instance of the word that follows. Disinformation, then, can be understood as reverse information or anti-information, specifically created to deceive and misguide other people. The Oxford English Dictionary describes disinformation as the dissemination of deliberately false information, especially when supplied by a government or its agent to a foreign power or to the media with the intention of influencing the policies or opinions of those who receive it. Given these definitions, it is curious that partners of the Trusted News Initiative have identified a scattered online public as the source of intentional disinformation.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTRadio.live.
And it's our final segment with Jose Nino of josbcf.substack.com. By the way, Jose, I was chatting with one of your recent podcast guests out in Texas, Nuclear Caudillo. He should be joining me on TNT in the near future. And
oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And you wrote another piece as well for Big League. And I don't know if you chose the photo or if Big League did, but it's got this photo of NATO, the Secretary General of the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization, Andres Rasmussen. And honestly, I was looking at it today and I was just like staring at the guy into his eyes for 30 seconds, like this image, and just, it's like, it looks like death. Yeah, it looks like a skeleton. I mean, it's like pure evil. I mean, he's up there. He's heading the genocidal globalist apparatus. NATO and Atlantic Council are one of the key nodes in this satanic globalist structure. And it's interesting what he said. He said, I call it, quote, I call it a geopolitical catastrophe if Trump were to be nominated, because in the campaign, his influence would be destructive. It would move Trump's terrible ideas closer to the mainstream and make it harder to secure congressional support for the war. I mean, let's like reread that again. It would move Trump's terrible idea of peace and make it harder to make war. Basically, that's what he's saying. I mean, this is off the wall.
Yeah, quiet part out loud right there saying that.
Just, it's simple. And you know, don't forget NATO Operation Gladio. It's documented. It's fact. It's not conspiracy theory. This is one of the things that irked me as a European and American. We're told that we're democratic and freedom when we're carrying out state terrorism. NATO murdered European citizens and children and women during these Gladio operations, killing European politicians. And so this is a terrorist group. I am joking, but I'm not when I say North Atlantic terrorist organization. That's really what it is. And they lied to us.
Yes. Yeah, all jokes aside, that is like the perfect descriptor of what like NATO is all about. And when they talk about terrorism, they're just always projecting. That's what I've always said with regards to these ornery globalist institutions that hoot and holler about fighting terrorism or other types of social ills. They actually are the ones that engage in that type of behavior at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm looking at his picture again. It's just frightening. It's like I'm looking at death in the eyes. And the thing that gets me the most is this lie that they pretend. You know, it's like back in the day, you know, the Cheka, the Soviet, you know, NKVD, the SS, everyone knew what they were all about. And here it's like they're sugarcoating what NATO is really all about. I that's the thing that's the worst. Double standard. And DU, you know, depleted uranium now is safe and effective. They're saying they're sending it to Ukraine. You wrote about DOD looking for $300 billion to replenish. That's not the EU. Depleted ammunition stock sent to Ukraine. But, you know, that also has to do with depleted uranium that they want to send. Yeah. But, I mean, the game just keeps going. They keep sending more money, more arms, ammunition to Ukraine. And then the DU, your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's just like another sign that these people are just total psychos. They want to continue this proxy war by all means necessary, and it's just going to result in more destruction. Ukraine's not going to win, and if anything, the only winner that comes out of this is the defense sector, the U.S. defense sector, and to some extent this NGO industrial complex as well.
I was also reading an article that the DoD is going to drop the hypersonic project. Well, specifically, I think it was from Lockheed, because they kept failing. But then I've heard some analysts say, I don't know what to believe anymore. On one hand, I could believe that the U.S. is way behind on hypersonics and they're failing. On the other, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just, you know, feigning, if they're lying to us and they really have hypersonics, but they're pretending that they're not. You know, I could go either way. I've got no idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. I think what we've come to realize now when in this era of great power conflict is that the U.S. doesn't really have the massive military advantages that it used to like decades ago. And actually, it's kind of interesting too, because the wokeification of its education system and whatnot is going to impact its ability to project power abroad. I was looking at some figures from Statista, and Russia apparently graduates as nearly as many STEM majors as like the US, and it's like almost like a third its population, and it's seen as like a declining great power too. Whereas I think China is almost like tenfold. They just graduate so many STEM majors, and that's like big, not just in terms of economic development, but also when it comes to military applications as well.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I mean, just to go back to the hypersonics, I guess the rest of the world, I mean, you'd have to test the weapons and technology. And so if you're not testing them, or if the tests are failing, I guess everyone in this day and age with the surveillance satellites, you know, the Russians and Chinese can more or less gauge a bit of where each side is at. So, and on top of what you said, the wokeification also adds that all of that sort of weighs more on the idea that the U.S. doesn't have the tech. But yeah, I don't know. When wars will start, then I think there will be many surprises. And, you know, there's all this news. There's this news about Russia stationing. You wrote about this tactical nukes in Belarus. I mean, Western media is going crazy about that. But I mean, for me, that's just a rational response by Russia, because, yeah, you know, West stationing nukes on the Western border of Russia. So Russia is going to station nukes on their Eastern NATO border. So from my objective perspective, not much, you know, here that's, you know, out of the ordinary, no?
Yeah, because the West already does that with like countries like Turkey and whatnot. So this is nothing. This is much ado about nothing. It's just like a sign these people are so stuck on the unipolar moment that whenever countries are now powerful enough to assert their like security interests, these people just lose their freaking minds, man. Psychotic people that we're governed by.
Yeah, it was last night. I was chatting with Carl Jha on the program. I'm sure you know Carl.
Yes,
Jha,
yes.
Silk and Steel podcast. He does good analysis. Although I had wanted to ask him, I didn't want to put him on the spot, because he said he's Chinese, but he has a U.S. passport, and I'm wondering if he's also got Chinese citizenship, because from what I know, Chinese cannot have dual citizenship. So I thought that was interesting. Maybe he doesn't have Chinese citizenship. I had a coworker here in Mexico from China. So she had Chinese citizenship, Mexican residency. Her child was born in Mexico, so he has Mexican citizenship, but he can't have Chinese citizenship. So it's just kind of funny when you have those countries where you can only have one citizenship. But some good news. We didn't talk about the economy, but you wrote about Tennessee creating a state gold and silver reserve. So there are these few and far between redoubts, you know, places like when it comes to freedom, whether it's freedom from the biosecurity state or CBDCs, or, you know, pro gold and silver and guns. DeSantis is going out trying to outlaw CBDCs. And here you have Tennessee governor signing a bill into law that lays the groundwork for creating a state reserve to purchase, sell, and hold precious metals such as gold and silver. So, you know, some good options: Florida, Texas, Tennessee. What do you think?
Yes, Tennessee is actually a really good option. And I have considered potentially moving there, or at least getting like some assets there, like real estate, because it's a nice state with friendly people, relatively good weather. I like the food there too, and good culture in terms of music, especially like cities like Nashville, even though it's a bit lefty, but it's still like a really solidly red state. There's like low property taxes and no income tax now. So it's like great for business in general, and having like a not so intrusive government. It's definitely on my radar. Yeah, on this sound money front, I think there's a lot of promise for red states to push back against the feds, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Tennessee is also seeing an influx of alternative media, independent media folks. Ryan Christian of Last American Vagabond, who was on my show last year, I think he's either there or relocated there. And then Scott Armstrong of Rebunked News, who was also on my show last year, who's now working with Ryan, I think he's also moved there. And so you're seeing these certain locations that are becoming like beacons of freedom. You know, Texas, Florida, Tennessee, El Salvador, Uruguay, to some extent Mexico. So, yeah, interesting. We'll see how things develop. Final thought, and then where do people best find you?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be like freedom sanctuaries that are going to pop up left and right these days. But yeah, and you can find my work at Jose Al Nino for Twitter at Jose Al Nino, and then Substack Jose Nino Unfiltered, josbcf.substack.com. And my podcast, El Nino Speaks, where you can get my political takes, is on iTunes, Substack, Spotify, and Stitcher.
All righty. Follow Jose. We'll catch up with you next week. And hopefully we should have Scott Horton of antiwar.com and Libertarian Institute's second hour coming up right after this break in the news.